Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for the special music, ladies. That was very nice. Very nice to have a second set, actually. Well, brethren, welcome to the Feast of Guitars. No, wait a minute. That's not it, is it? Maybe the Feast of the Xylophone? That doesn't sound familiar either. Ah, yes, the Feast of Trumpets. That's what this day is. Does that sound a little funny to you, the Feast of Trumpets? Or, say, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, perhaps? If you were an outsider, someone not familiar with what the church teaches and preaches, would that sound peculiar to you at all? Especially those two feast days? What do you do on unleavened bread? What is unleavened bread? Do people even know what unleavened bread is? And what do you do on the Feast of Trumpets? Well, for people who don't know and understand God's holy days, even these names might sound a little weird to them. Like I said, days of unleavened bread. Today, the day of Feast Day of Trumpets, might sound weird or peculiar. I may ask, what do you actually do on that day? So what possible spiritual importance can we give to this day of blowing of trumpets? I was a little scared in the beginning Mr. Lambert's sermon this morning. He started out talking about the blowing of trumpets, and I thought, oh no, I'm in big trouble. That's what I'm going to be speaking about today. But then he quickly turned into another direction, so I was safe. It's always difficult for the last speaker of the afternoon service in trying to make sure that what is spoken of during the previous messages isn't necessarily highlighted, although if it is, that's okay. But it hasn't been that way so far. So this is my second time being the last speaker of a Holy Day message, and I haven't had that opportunity just yet. But in thinking of that instrument in general, thinking of a trumpet, what comes to mind? I can think of, say, a high school marching band, right? If they're in a parade going down the street, in a month and a half away, you'll have the Thanksgiving Day parade. Right in New York City, and one of the highlights is to see the college marching bands, I believe. I don't know if there's any high school in there or not, but I think it's mostly college, doing their thing. They stop, you know, and you'll get to see them play a piece or whatever for a little bit as they go along the procession there. You may think of a jazz band, right? Or just maybe. You might think of it would be the most important, not maybe just on par with what Mr. Lambert had talked about this morning, the opening of Star Wars. How could you not think of the opening of Star Wars and that trumpet procession when you're thinking about trumpets, right? But way back in Israel's time, they thought of trumpets in a totally different way than what we do today. The meaning for them was much different. So for my split sermon today, we're going to look at the purposes and the functions of the blowing of trumpets. Now, with their ability to transmit sound over vast distances, trumpets were, in ancient times, they were excellent instruments. But for what? Well, we'll find out. They were used to send signals. In the Old Testament times, we'll see how ancient Israel used the trumpet as a call for numerous orders and announcements. Now, to give credit where credit is due, in leading up to building on my message for today, I was actually listening to trumpet messages online, and there was a man by the name of Lynn Leiby from the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And I got a lot of information out of his sermon that he gave. Maybe it was on a last Feast of Trumpets. If you were to listen to one of his messages, this is some of this material came from that message. So I wanted to bring that to attention just to start off with. So for our first scripture this morning, brethren, turn to the book of Numbers, Numbers 29. Verse 1. Numbers 29:1 says, "And in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, which would be today according to the Hebrew calendar, you," all of us talking about here, as well as the Israelites back then, "shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work. For you, it shall be a day of blowing the trumpets." For blowing the trumpets. Why a whole day for blowing trumpets? Are trumpets important then? There must be some type of importance and meaning behind this day and the use of trumpets, right? Now, while other days or on new moons, trumpets were blown back then, on this day, trumpets were to be blown, as it says in verse 1 of chapter 29, throughout the day. So on multiple occasions. So let's go ahead to the book of Numbers now. Still there, but in chapter 10, back towards the beginning of the book of Numbers. And I'll read verses 1 to 10 of Numbers 10. And it says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Make two silver trumpets, as we heard about this morning, for yourselves. You shall make them of hammered work. You shall use them for calling the congregation, for directing the movement of the camps. When they blow them, all the congregation shall gather before you at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. But if they blow only one, then the leaders, the heads of the divisions of Israel, shall gather to you," it says. In verse 5, when you sound the advance, the camps that lie on the east side shall then begin their journey. When you sound the advance the second time, the camps that lie on the south shall begin their journey. They shall sound the call for them to begin their journeys. And when the assembly is to be gathered together, they shall blow, but not sound the advance." So a different type of sound from the same type of instrument, the trumpet. Verse 8, "So the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow the trumpets." So we know specifically who were to be blowing the trumpets. And these shall be to you an ordinance forever throughout your generations. When you go to war in your land against the enemy who oppresses you, then you shall sound the alarm with the trumpets, and you will be remembered before the Lord your God, and you will be saved from the enemies," it says. "Also, in the day of your gladness and your appointed feasts, and at the beginning of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, and they shall be a memorial for you before your God. I am the Lord your God." So in those 10 verses, we get to see three functions of the blowing of trumpets. In verses 2 through 3, you see that the blowing of trumpets were used to assemble the people, to assemble the Israelites. Verse 4, it showed us that leaders were called to the assembly at the sound of a trumpet blast. Verses 5 through 8, direct the move of that assembly, where to go, what to be doing. Verse 9 showed us that the trumpets were used to sound the alarm and to prepare for war. So again, a different type or sound from the same type of instrument, so that people knew if they heard one blast, two blasts, or a procession of blasts, that, okay, this is what they knew, that this is what that meant, and I was supposed to go over here or do this or be called to some place, some gathering. So from these verses of Scripture, we see that blowing the trumpets could be celebratory as well as a dire warning. Like a lot of us have heard or maybe even have personally heard a fire hall hydrant, a fire hall siren go off. I know every day, without fail, at 6 o'clock, there's a fire station right across the street from where Bibi and I live. They sound off one siren every day at 6 o'clock. Why, I don't know, but they do that. Or maybe you've heard of a tornado siren. I haven't heard any of those personally, but maybe some of you have in the past. But both aspects of hearing trumpets in a celebratory fashion or as a warning, they add a little bit of detail now to the significance of the blowing of trumpets for ancient Israel. But let's add a little bit more detail to the significance of the blowing of trumpets. And for that, we're going to turn to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 19. Exodus 19, starting in verse 10. It says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and let them be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people,' it says. 'You shall set bounds for the people all around, saying, Take heed to yourselves, that you do not go up to the mountain or touch its base. For whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death.'" Why? Because it was a holy place, because God's presence was there. Verse 13, "Not a hand shall touch him, but he shall surely be stoned or shot with an arrow. Whether man or beast, he shall not live. Whether the trumpet sounds long, they shall come near." When the trumpet sounds long, excuse me, "they shall come near the mountain." Verse 14, "So Moses went down to the mount, from the mountain to the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said to the people, 'Be ready for the third day. Do not come near your wives.' Then it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain. And the sound of the trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in the camp, they trembled," it says. "And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain." Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire, it says. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace. The whole mountain quaked greatly. So we see another function back in the time of ancient Israel of the blowing of trumpets, which was used to call the assembly. But to do what? To meet the Lord. To meet God. To stand in the midst of His presence. Now, I don't know of anyone, probably in this room even, who has not seen the Ten Commandments. Have you not seen the Ten Commandments by Cecil B. DeMille? Raise your hand. That's what I thought. This movie is on every single year, isn't it? During Easter time, as the world has it. But obviously, in that movie of the Ten Commandments, it misses this aspect. Because in the movie, it's only Moses that goes up and talks with the Lord. But as it says, plainly says right here, all the children of Israel were gathered at the base of the mountain to hear what God had to tell them and instruct them. So I guess, knowing that there weren't computer effects and all like that back in those days, they just probably couldn't pull that off. So that's why they had to probably change it up in the movie. But they didn't quite get that part right about the movie. So again, I ask the question, is this event worth memorializing on a day like today? The blowing of trumpets, signaling and calling God's elect to assemble and to meet with Him. While we've looked at four functions, there are others, but we've looked at four functions of how the trumpet was used back during the time of ancient Israel. But now let's fast forward a little bit to see the fulfillment of these things written in the prophets and in the New Testament passages of the Bible. And just like the passages we read, we'll see how God's people will once again be called by the blowing of trumpets to meet our Almighty Creator. So let's go ahead, and if you want to, you can turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Interesting little tidbit of information while you're turning there. It was sort of mentioned, I think, earlier today. You know, in the entire New Testament, it mentions every single holy day except for one. One's not in there. As something that either Jesus Christ and his disciples kept during his ministry or the apostles kept decades later. This day, trumpets is not mentioned anywhere in the New Testament by name. But all the other feast days are mentioned, aren't they? Jesus desired to keep the Passover with his disciples. And Paul called Jesus Christ our Passover. He called him that, who was sacrificed for us. Paul tells the church in Corinth to keep the feast in 1 Corinthians 5. The disciples all came together in one accord on the day of Pentecost, right? Paul strived to return from his travels to Jerusalem to keep the fast. So we know that atonement was a day that Paul kept. Jesus Christ and his disciples kept the Feast of Tabernacles, and Jesus spoke of that great day of the feast. But where in the New Testament is a mention of trumpets? Well, it's not there. It can't be found. But, oddly enough, the meaning behind the feast day and what it depicts with the blowing of trumpets is probably explained better and in more detail in the New Testament than any other aspect of keeping God's feast days. And hopefully we'll see that by the end of this message. So the first function that we looked at that was displayed in the book of Numbers was to call an assembly, to gather the people, so to speak. So in Matthew chapter 24, let's read verses... Oh, I should have turned there myself. And talking and talking and talking. In Matthew chapter 24... We'll read about that in verse 30 and 31. It says, "Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." Talking about Jesus Christ here. And he said, "And he will send his angels with the great sound of what? Of a trumpet," it says. "And they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." So, God's elect, those who are called and chosen, will be the ones that Jesus Christ calls forth. With what? Obviously, with a trumpet. With the great sound of a trumpet, as it says, at his return. But there's something else that we just looked at that was also addressed in these two verses of Scripture. It's also a sound that will cause the rest of humanity, as it says, to mourn. To mourn. The people of this world will not be happy campers, so to speak, with the sound. Because, why? Well, because they won't recognize it for what it is. But we will, brethren. Have you ever wondered why they won't be happy, though? Well, I guess with little or no biblical understanding... The right biblical understanding, people simply, they just won't understand. They won't know, actually, what's going on and what's about to happen. And not just to their little tiny villages or their towns, but to the entire world. And why would they? Why would they understand? Because people only know about the crucified image of Jesus Christ that they see on the cross, right, portrayed in the artwork or the stained glass or the little baby that's in the manger that they see on the church lawns and that we see around Christmas time in December. Many people have a very little limited perspective of who Jesus Christ really is. They think only of his first coming as our suffering Savior and as the Lamb of God. But he, along with the Father, is a God of justice. They're a God of judgment, as well as a God of mercy and forgiveness. Now, when Jesus Christ returns to this earth the second time, it will be as the Lion of the tribe of Judah to actually punish those who are in rebellion against God. People who haven't turned their minds and hearts, people who have turned their minds and hearts away from Him. But this will be needed in order to prepare the way for true peace on earth. So people today only see the Lamb. That's what they've been taught in that false religion that Mr. Lambert was talking about in his message this morning. But Christ will come back as the roaring Lion and as a conquering Messiah. He will come back and call forth His elect from, it says, the four winds with the sound of a trumpet to assemble His elect. So this day pictures God in God's plan of salvation, a time when trumpets will be used to call the assembly. Function number one. Let's go ahead and look at that second function that we looked at in Numbers 10, which was when you were called. Well, you just didn't stand there and do nothing, right? There was another trumpet blast, which sounded what to do, to direct that assembly of people. It's not like you were called and then you're like, hey, George, what are we doing here? He goes, I don't know. I haven't heard any trumpet blast yet. What to do? Right? The second blast was to direct the assembly. The people were called forth, and with direction given from the blowing of trumpets, they were to move. For that, turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 27. This illustrates this fact. Isaiah chapter 27. Starting in verse 12. It says, and it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord will thresh from the channel of the river to the brook of Egypt, and you will be gathered one by one, O you children of Israel, it says in verse 13. So it shall be in that day the great trumpet will be blown. They will come who are about to perish in the land of Assyria, and they who are outcasts in the land of Egypt, and they shall worship the Lord in the holy mountain of Jerusalem. So we see here, brethren, we see that God's people are called together from one location. Then they are called forth and directed to another specific location, all by the use of a trumpet blast. All of Israel is called to travel and come forth to worship their God, as it says at the end of verse 13, in Jerusalem. So another function of the blowing of trumpets was to direct the people. The third function, and probably the one that, you know, it's not... It might be uneasy to talk about, at least for me it is, because it's new for me to talk about, but to sound the alarm for war and to prepare the assembly. That was the third function of the blowing of trumpets. And for that, turn to the book of Jeremiah. Before we get to the book of Revelation and talking about this subject, we'll look at a couple of places in the Old Testament and in the Psalms, actually, in a little bit. But here in Jeremiah chapter 4, looking at verses 5 and 6, it says, declare in Judah and proclaim in Jerusalem and say, blow the trumpet in the land, cry, gather together and say, assemble yourselves and let us go into the fortified cities. Set up the standard toward Zion. Take refuge. Do not delay, for I will bring disaster from the north and great destruction. And if you want to look down a little bit further, starting in verse 19, he says, O my soul, I am pained in my very heart. My heart makes a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace, he says, because you have heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm for war, says. Destruction upon destruction is cried, for the whole land is plundered. Suddenly my tents are plundered, and my curtains in a moment. Verse 21, how long will I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? Here the blowing of trumpets is to warn Judah of their imminent destruction. It's an alarm for war. And when one hears this alarm, they should take heed to be on the right side, on God's side. Because we'll see in the book of Revelation in a little bit that everyone will hear this alarm, as we heard about this morning. And when we hear it, we want to be on the right side. We want to be assembled on the side with Jesus Christ instead of against him. Turn to the book of Psalms, if you would. Psalms chapter 47. Starting right in verse 1 of Psalm chapter 47. It says, Oh, clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is awesome. He is a great king over all the earth. He will subdue the peoples under us, the nations under our feet. He will choose our inheritance for us, the excellence of Jacob, whom he loves, Selah. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises, he says. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding. Verse 8, God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. The prince of the people have gathered together. The people of God, of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted. There will be some who will be a little uncomfortable with our Savior Jesus Christ subduing nations under his feet. But like I said, people just don't see him as this fearful and wrathful being, sort of like how you could sort of portray him in the Old Testament with the thunderings and the rollings of thunder and the cloud of smoke and what forth. We read early in the book of Exodus how the Israelites, they trembled when at the presence of God from seeing that. So he couldn't be, this can't be describing that person. It can't be describing Jesus Christ, right? Not our gentle and kind loving Savior. That's how other people perceive him. Well, if that's the case, people shouldn't read the book of Revelation. But let us read the book of Revelation. If you'd like to turn to Revelation chapter 8. People more or less see Jesus Christ as this loving, soft-spoken, peaceful teacher who brings forth love and not violence, right? But as we'll read here in the book of Revelation, Jesus Christ will use power. He will use, in fact, force to bring about change. It's no wonder, then, that many people simply, they just don't recognize Jesus Christ and at his return because they don't see him as this conquering, powerful, forceful being. But starting in Revelation 8 comes the opening of the seven seals. And with those seven seals, seven plagues that will pour out on this sinning world. But at the open of every single seal, what is there? There's a trumpet blast. A thunderous trumpet blast to sound each and every one. As far as the trumpet blast goes, since the beginning of mankind, these will be, brethren, these will be the ultimate and the climactic use of trumpet blasts. And if this feast day pictures the blowing of trumpets, as we know it does, then this day definitely points to these trumpet blasts described in the book of Revelation. So Revelation chapter 8, let's read verses 1 and 2. Verse 1, when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour, it says. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets to sound the seven trumpet blasts when each seal would be opened. So what follows then is a summary of woes and calamities that come upon this earth following each and every trumpet blast. But what I'd like to do is focus on the seventh trumpet blast. And that we'll have to turn a couple of chapters over to chapter 11 of Revelation. Revelation 11, starting in verse 15. It says, then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones, they fell down on their faces and worshiped God, saying, We give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you have taken great power and reigned. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants and prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, both small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth. Verse 19, then the temple of God was opened in heaven, and the ark of his covenant was seen in his temple. And there were lightnings, noises, thunderings, and earthquake, and great hail. Doesn't necessarily paint a pretty picture, does it? But we know it's going to happen. These are very powerful words, brethren. Words that many people simply don't see. They don't understand. Or maybe they just don't want to. At one time, there were thousands of other people who understood these words. But they have been led astray, so to speak, haven't they? But they'll be given a chance at redemption at one day. Let's continue with this theme, but in the book, or in chapter 19 of Revelation. Revelation chapter 19. Starting in verse 11. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes, talking about the description of this person, was like the flame of fire. On his head were many crowns, talked about this morning. He had a name written that no one knew except for himself, it says. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses, it says. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Who is he? And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather together for the supper of the great God. Verse 18, that you may eat. What were these birds to do? You may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and those who sit on them, and the flesh of all the people, free and slave, both small and great. Verse 19, and I saw the beast, the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. Clearly, brethren, if there was ever a call to war for the elect of God, this would be it. This will be the pinnacle and climactic moment of all of humanity from the beginning up until this point occurs. You know, World War I was supposed to be the war to end all wars, or that's how it was pictured or portrayed or said as. But it wasn't. World War II has come and gone. Other wars have come and gone. But this will be the war to end all wars. But we will be called with the sound of a trumpet and stand at our Savior's side as he goes ahead and vanquishes the armies that oppose him. Because as we read, there will be people assembled to do just that. There will be nations who oppose our great, loving, and Jesus Christ. These words may be difficult to grasp or even understand, but that doesn't make them any less true. They picture events that cause bloodshed. They picture events that cause carnage, like has never been seen before and will never be seen from again. So I get why many don't see Jesus Christ in this type of light. After all, he is the God in the flesh and a man who spent his human life spreading good news of the kingdom of God. He was teaching God's word, showering love on all, and serving his heavenly Father through his work here on earth. He healed many people. He performed great miracles while he was here on earth. He did so many great things. But this will be another great thing that our loving Savior will also do: vanquish the armies of this world. So I can see how many could not see Jesus Christ, their Savior, as being capable of causing this type of destruction. But he will, brethren. Keep in mind, though, that he will also be the one who stands in judgment when those same people are brought up from their graves after the millennium. Keep in mind that he offers them a choice of repentance and change at eternal life. At his return, all he's simply doing is putting down those who oppose him until the second resurrection. So this third function of blowing of trumpets is a call to war. Just as in ancient Israel, there was the sound of a trumpet blast to call the Israelites to assemble and then be directed through another trumpet blast to go to war, we will hear this trumpet blast, the seventh trump out of heaven when Christ returns. Let's look now at the fourth function. The fourth function of trumpets is to call the assembly to meet with God, to call the assembly to meet God. For that, we're going to look at 1 Thessalonians, the book of 1 Thessalonians. Right after the book of Colossians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Starting in I'll read verses 16 to 18. It says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with a trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then he who are alive and maintain and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord," it says. In verse 18, "Therefore comfort one another with these words." So at Jesus Christ's return, we won't have to go through what the rest of the world goes through. It says that God's elect will be called up to meet with Jesus Christ, and we shall always be with him. So the trumpet has sounded. The dead in Christ are made alive, and they rise. Then those who are still alive in Christ, having God's Spirit, will also rise up together to be with them. And what happens then? Well, we all meet the Lord, it says, in the air. And from that point on, we are always with the Lord, it says. We are called and assembled together as one great spiritual family to meet and be with our loving God. And from this point on, we will always, always be with Him. It's amazing how this feast day isn't mentioned by name anywhere in the New Testament. Yet, like I said before, it's clearly indicated and revealed to us throughout the writings of God's servants in very much detail. So if this day isn't something we're celebrating, brethren, then I don't believe any day is worth celebrating. So in summary, we've looked at four functions of the blowing of trumpets. Like I said, there are others, but we looked at four. They're used to call an assembly. Trumpets are used to direct that assembly once they're called. They can be used to sound the alarm for war and to prepare an assembly. And they are also used to call the assembly to meet with God. If you would, brethren, turn to the book of Acts. Chapter 3. Starting in verse 19, it says, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that He may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began," some of whom we read about today. Verse 22, "For Moses truly said to the fathers, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear all things, whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people.'" Who's that talking about? It's talking about Jesus Christ, isn't it? It's talking about His life here on earth. It's talking about His resurrection. It's talking about this day, the day of trumpets, when He will return to earth. Verse 24. "Yes, and all the prophets, from Samuel to those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. You are sons of the prophets and the covenant of which God with our fathers, saying to Abraham, 'In your seed all families of the earth shall be blessed.' To you first, God, having raised up His servant Jesus, sent Him to bless you, in turning away every one of you from your iniquities." So, brethren, this day, the Feast of Trumpets, pictures the time of tragic events that lie ahead. But the good news is that God will intervene and He will ultimately save humanity, all of humanity, and guide them to His abundant way of life. The way of life that we are currently living now. Jesus Christ will return and raise His followers from death and establish God's perfect rule over the earth. This is a wonderful, inspiring meaning that is pictured in this day. But it all starts out with an instrument that for centuries now, has been used to call and gather people together. It's been used to call and lead them. We've seen how this instrument has been used to sound the alarm for war. And we've seen how this instrument was used to call God's elect and gather up to meet with him. So let's all remember the purpose and the function of this instrument, the blowing of trumpets, and the significance and meaning behind why they were used back in the time of ancient Israel, and also what functions they will be used for in the future when Jesus Christ our Savior comes back to reign on and over this earth. So with that, I just have one more thing to say. Have a happy and enjoyable and spiritually uplifting Day of Atonement. Yes, the Day of Atonement. Feast of Tabernacles and Eighth Day.